Hey everybody, Stu Smith here going live. Hope you are doing well on this Monday morning. Holiday here, federal holiday here in the United States, but we're still getting after it. In fact, I want to share with you what typically happens if you ever come here for a week to train with us, because we have a guy staying for a week out of state, and he is trying to go to Buds, and so he just wanted to see where he needed to work. So today was, he just happened to join us on our deload week, which is awesome. I do love this week. It's a no lift week, all calisthenics and cardio, and right in the middle of our strength cycle, just do this calisthenics and cardio week. It's just, it feels good to not be lifting heavy for a week and just focus on some of the PST level activity. So we just did the basic PT pyramid today, 1 to 10, back down to 1, pull-ups, push-ups, sit-ups, dips. But we ran every set. So it was 19 quarter mile runs. So 19 400 meter runs in that, along with a little bit of other stuff and, some bear crawling and things like that. Then we went swimming and we just primarily focused on the 50-50. Some of the advanced guys did 150s. So that means you warm up a little bit, swim, tread 10 minutes, and then you do 10 sets of 50 freestyle hard or 100 freestyle hard, depending on your abilities. And then you try to catch your breath with a 50 CSS. And so that's our 50-50, 150 workout. It's a great one to get in shape for the CSS 500-yard swim. It's one of those classics. Wrote an article on it. In fact, I'll share it with you guys. If you've never heard of the 50-50, then I'm not sure what rock you've been living under, because it's out there. You know, if you're trying to crush a PST, a lot of people will say you need to do the 50-50. It's just one of those workouts, free workout I throw out there to the universe, and I get a lot of feedback back from, hey, I started at 10 minutes and I'm down to 8 minutes in 4 weeks. Pretty common feedback. So that's our Monday. So we got an upper body day. And so what I assess there is upper body, muscle stamina, some endurance, running pace, running style, swimming technique, a little bit of treading, not too much, just a little bit, make sure I see what he's doing. Then tomorrow, because he asked all these questions, like as soon as he got here, can we do this? Can we do this? Can we do this? I said, you got a week. Just stand by. Every day we're going to do something different. And so tomorrow is a leg day and we're going to do your typical legs, calisthenics, cardio, a lot of running, squats and lunges, fireman carries, uphills, stuff like that. And then we'll go swimming with fins afterwards. So I will be able to assess the swimming with fins section. We'll probably swim a mile with fins, just see where that pace is and, call it a day after that. Wednesday is our mobility day. A lot of people think this is a day off. It's not. It's very hard. Mobility day challenges me like no other workout I've done. And all it is, it's simply a 5-minute cardio, bike, elliptical, rowing, followed by 5-minute stretching and foam rolling. We do that for about an hour. And then we go to the pool and we do a drown proofing drill where we do all the treading and drown proofing exercises for the next hour. And in between them, we swim 100 meters. So we're getting winded, got to catch our breath with some bobbing and some treading and some front flip, back flips, simulating our hands are tied and our feet together. It's a great workout. In fact, I will put that into the comment section. Once again, it's an article. I throw it out there to the universe. And if you're paying attention and not living under a rock, you will find these workouts that are very helpful. Don't cost a dime. So there you go. That's our Wednesday. And that we really nail down some mobility work. Usually mobility is the leading cause of people not being able to tread. It's not their body fat percentage. It's their inability of their hips, knees, and ankles to actually produce enough downward force so they stay up. Plenty of lean people can tread water. It's just how mobile are those joints, and are they going to enable you to do a powerful scissor kick or even a powerful egg beater / alternating breaststroke kick. Then Thursday, we go back to upper body day, a little bit different, not a pyramid, but it's, probably more superset style programming. Maybe we'll do kind of like a Murph, but just with upper body exercises. Can't remember what I have set up for this Saturday. I didn't bring it up, but I think it's a more superset-y. Then Friday is a beach run. We'll swim with fins again. We'll do some legs, leg PT, calisthenics, squats, lunges, stuff like that. Maybe some sprints on the sand. That's always hard. So another energy system we work there. And then on Saturday, we are actually testing this week. This is week 4 of our winter lift cycle. And I am throwing in a test this week, and we have multiple types of people here. We have firefighters, we have FBI agents training for SWAT, we have kids going Marine Corps, guys going Air Force PJ, Ranger SF, and SEAL, SWIC, EOD. So we got a broad group. So we're all going to do a combination of each other's tests. So my guys will be doing the FBI SWAT team test. He'll be doing some of the, SEAL tests, it's really funny because even though there's that many groups, there are about a dozen exercises that are all the same that fit just about into every one of those tests. So all tests pretty much in the tactical world are tied together with about a dozen exercises. And those are usually a run, and those vary from different 1.5 miles, 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles, 5 miles. You got rucks, you got a swim. Some variety of swim skills, sometimes treading, things like that, underwaters. You also have agility tests, which can be as easy as a shuttle run, can be as difficult as an obstacle course. Then there's usually a calisthenics portion where it's pull-ups, push-ups, sit-ups. Those are typically, or plank now, tend to float around in the plank versus sit-ups now. And then there's, some form of strength exercise. Could be the deadlift, hex bar deadlift. Sometimes a weighted pull-up, depending on what group is getting tested. And, some type of throw often is in there as well. So if you put all that together, you got about a dozen exercises that we all use, and we're just going to do all of them. And it's a pretty fun little challenge. Some will run 1.5 miles, some will run 3, depending on Navy or Marine Corps type thing. But we're just going to come up with our own little mutual assessment day, which is a lot of fun. So let's see. Let's take some comments and questions. Looks like Rain. Is that how I pronounce that? Rain? Excited for those books. I recognize the name, and you ordered these programs. And unfortunately, the summer one didn't show up. And I apologize for that. We will get that summer one to you. You said you got 2 fall ones, as I recall. Just keep that one and give it away to a friend. So, you know, by the time you were to mail it back to me and, you know, I pay for shipping, it's like, you know, I've already lost money on the book. So we'll just chalk it up to advertising. You can give it away to somebody that you think deserves it or wants it. Hey, I also found one of these. Check this out. I may do my free book deal. In fact, I'll sign it. Never quit. There you go. So signed book. Stand by. So I want you guys to stand by. When you guys see this pop up again in a minute, the first person to say, you got to say this exact phrase, all right? Book giveaway. I'm not going to say anything. You got to say this exact phrase. Send it to me. Send it to me. So once you see this pop up, and it's going to pop up in the next hour, first person that says send it to me on my list of comments, I will mail this book to you. Okay. It's an older version, but the workout stayed the same. So it's, I think what I changed in the different, revisions were the ever-changing administrative process of becoming a SEAL. Those have changed in the last 20 years, probably half a dozen times. So I have some updating to do because I'm sure I have some articles that are not all the way updated yet. So when you see that pop up, and remember, when you see this pop up, next time you see it, say, send it to me. So you folks that are listening, just stand by. I'll do this in a little bit. It'll be a surprise. Let's see. What's your opinion on high repetition burpees, 8 counts or any other variation as they seem to be more and more used these days? You know, I use them as a purpose. You can't say send it to me yet. I have to show you the banner. The banner is not up. So this does not count, Catherine. Derek, so you can practice. That's a good practice shot. But when I show that book giveaway little sign down there at the bottom, then you can say send it to me and you're first. You are not first. You are in the negative side. You are way too early. I use them occasionally. I don't use them often because I'll tell you why. I have found, especially burpees, 8 count bodybuilders, not so much. I've seen people get little weird injuries from them, especially if you do them like a wrestler and you're doing them on a mat, or you're an MMA guy doing them on a mat or floor and you're barefoot. A lot of people will get a form of turf toe off of that. I personally did once. We were doing it on a pool deck in between sets. We would break up the group. So half the group would swim 200 meters fast. You know, that took most people around 3 minutes to get that done. And then we would, the other group would be doing burpees while they swam. And we would have to do burpees until that last guy finished his 200 meters. Sometimes it sucks as you're doing it for three and a half minutes, just constant burpees on a pool deck. And then it wasn't probably about a month later, and I and about 4 other dudes all had turf toe. Just toe hurt while you're running. You can Google what turf toe is. A lot of football players get it. It was pretty painful. Just like a tendon gets inflamed in your toe and it hurts to walk, hurts to run. You know, so anyway, there are a bunch of little nagging issues that occur. A lot of times I've seen guys like chest shoulder connections get a little worn out, more like inflamed, like tendonitis, and then elbow tendonitis. So I do them, but I do them on occasion. And usually they tend to go with kind of a pseudo gut check type workout. Like this Saturday, we did a 3 mile run. We did a 1 to 10 pyramid. We stopped at 10 of pull-ups and burpees. So by the time we did 1 to 10, we got 55 pull-ups, 55 burpees. Then we rucked 3 miles, came back and finished 11 to 20 pyramid of pull-ups and burpees. And if you total that up, that's 210 pull-ups and burpees. So that was a good workout. I kind of felt that a little bit today when we were doing our pyramid. Because 200 pull-ups, you feel for a few days. Though today felt pretty good. We only did 100 today, which may seem like a lot to a lot of you guys. If you're listening and you're not used to these kind of volumes. Here's where a lot of people go wrong is they try to do them. And let's say you can only do 5 pull-ups, in one set. You try to do a workout like a Murph that's 100 pull-up workout, 200 push-ups, 300 squats. You've never come close to doing that in any total workout volume. And it is crushing. In fact, I had a guy the other day tell me he took his friend. He didn't realize he was getting in really good shape. So he took his friend and did one of the workouts in, I think it was this book, one of the more advanced workouts in calisthenics and cardio. And I think it came up to probably close to 100 pull-ups and a couple hundred push-ups and abs and dips and kind of like a Murph style setup. And he said his friend, one, couldn't finish it, threw up, and got rhabdo. So you have to be careful when you first get into these, not to jump into something that, is a generic workout program that's going to crush you. Because I will tell you this, if you can't do 10 pull-ups in a set, you have no business trying to do a Murph, which is 100 pull-ups total. Like I said, I've just seen people really hurt themselves, especially when they do 300 squats and 100 pull-ups and they haven't done that ever. Next thing you know, they're in the hospital peeing brown and their kidneys are about to shut down. You could die from rhabdomyolysis. And it's fun to take a friend to go do a workout, but when that friend can't walk and starts really feeling poorly, really quickly, you got to get them to the hospital, especially if you're peeing brown. If you ever see yourself or somebody else peeing brown, that basically means you're peeing blood and your muscles are starting to break down and you need to go directly to the hospital. And they're probably going to put some IVs in you and fix you up, but it's usually a couple day hospital stay. It's that serious. So be careful with those high repetition exercises that seem fun and seem like a fun gut check. But if you're not used to them, they can be really painful and hurt you. So great question though. Sorry, I kind of went on a tangent there, but I've just seen a lot of people screw themselves up doing that one way too early. So, Morning Stew, do you ever program cutback weeks for running for your guys? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Who train in person? How crucial would you say they are overall term development? Yes, we actually do. We actually do this in the summer because right now, we aren't running that much, and we actually just boosted our running this week just because during our lift cycle, we try not to run as much, probably run about 15 miles a week. And really, that's just to stay warm because we do work outside in the winter. Lifting and all that takes some time to stay warm and get warm. So we use running to do that. But in the summer, we really pick up the running mileage. Total volume probably builds up to, you know, anywhere between 30 and 40 miles a week. And every fourth week, we pull it back and we actually not only pull back the running, but we pull back the total volume of, in fact, that's what this one is. It's kind of builds up, but every fourth week, you kind of pull back a little bit. My spring and summer programs are developed like that to have every fourth week to be a reduction in miles and a reduction in reps. But we, instead of just reducing calisthenics reps, we add weight to that. And it's kind of like our strength maintenance week, calisthenics running deload. And it's a process called block periodization. I call it seasonal tactical fitness block periodization. In fact, you can check out this article because it explains it pretty well. This is like a spring summer training article. And you'll see in that in the comment section of that article I just sent that it is basically the same thing, same type of thing, where we do a pullback on the mileage. Sorry for pushing your buttons last week. I don't even remember, JT. Really appreciate your insight and your taking your advice for my enlistment schedule. No, yeah, I just telling you the truth, man. But I seriously don't even remember my buttons being pushed. So not a big deal. Really isn't. I might have had some passion in answering you, but definitely not pissed off or anything like that. You listen to whoever you want to listen to. You know, I just wanted to warn you with the things I've seen in the last 20 years of people really screwing themselves depending upon their enlistment schedule and them not being fully ready. Do I still go by week three, don't run? You know what? I kind of evolved from that. I will say, I think I did that on this one, in this program, where it's a week three, no run week. But what I typically do instead of a zero running week now, you can still do that. I think if you're beginning to run, that third week is typically, statistically speaking, the week everybody gets injured. When you say everybody, most people get injured. And when they talk about injuries and running, I guess there's a statistic out there that says over 50% of all runners get injured every year. A lot of those are new runners. And usually that third or fourth week of running a new program, some injury gets them. In fact, every spring, that third or fourth week in the spring, in fact, I mentioned this last year, that third or fourth week in the spring, everybody texts me and talks about shin splints or knee tendonitis. So it is, put it this way, I've noticed it so much that I needed to discuss that observation. But if you're a beginner, yes, I would not run that third or fourth week. If you're consistent runner through the year, like myself or other guys who I'm training with, we just pull back. You know, one, we pull back in the winter. And two, even in our running cycle, our heavy running cycle, we pull back every fourth week to maybe 60, 75% of what we were running the week before, just as slight deload. Yeah. But good question, Joe. That, you know, Stu old school for sure. All right. So it looks like we got multiple posts here from Sahal. Good morning, Stu. Recently purchased a winter program. Had a couple questions about it. Generally, what pace should we aim to run the warm-up runs and 1 mile? Are they timed runs as fast as possible? No. If they're at the top and it says warm-up, that's a warm-up jog. Okay, so I typically like to warm up, and these workouts have this same work warm-up in it where, you know, if I'm doing upper body, there's this parking lot or a field that's about 100 meters long. So I will do one push-up at one end, run to the other end, do two push-ups, come back, do three push-ups, four push-ups, five push-ups, and just go back and forth like that till we get 10. A lot of times there's a pull-up bar there too, so we'll add pull-ups to that. So it's one pull-up, one push-up, run to the other side, or run halfway and back, 2-2, halfway and back, 3-3. And you get the drill. You know, you run about 100 yards in between. But it is a warm-up jog, right? There's no warm-ups prior to that. So this is your warm-up. You know, hopefully you can build yourself up to a level where 55 pull-ups and 55 push-ups, and if it's a leg day, 55 squats, no air squats, and 10 100s, then a one-mile run is an actual warm-up. Now, I will tell you this. I, at 54, next week, by the way, no, this week, Saturday, 54 years old, I run that mile very slow because my body is yelling at me the entire time saying, hey, what are you doing? This hurts. And so I don't run it very fast. I will say after that 1 mile, I am now officially warmed up. However, my younger guys, they can warm up with that 1 to 10. Some guys say, hey, I'm feeling pretty warmed up right now at 1 to 5. And they go run their mile in like 6 minutes and then come back and just crush the workout. So it really kind of depends on the warm up, your ability to warm up. So I run that mile in like 8 minutes. Some guys run it in six. So it's up to you. Should guys be aiming for Army SF sub out all the swims for rucking? Not all of them. I don't like to ruck every day. I will swim every day, though. This is a great question. What I would do is on upper body days, sub out the swim for either more running or non-impact cardio if you need it. On lower body days, sub out the swim with fins with a ruck. That is what I would do. And sometimes there's rucking in there already on leg days, so you may not need to do that. You can just skip it or add in another form of cardio or go for a little extra run. You know, a 30-minute run, you know, zone two, never a bad thing. You know, it's not going to kill you. But it really kind of depends on your ability to run. Like, can you add 30 minutes a couple of times a day and, you know, get another, you know, 8 miles of your totals of running in a week without hurting yourself? If that's the case, then do it. If you're kind of new to running and you're pushing the level of your maximum already, my suggestion would be to replace that swimming with another form of non-impact cardio, biking, elliptical, rowing, you know, something like that. There's some explanations in there in that book. If you just read that section about non-impact cardio, it'd give you some ideas on things to do. So Mikhail's back. How are you? Hello, Stu. My 2 mile time run, I assume, is 16 minutes, 2 8-minute miles. I'm trying to improve. How many speed workouts should I be doing if I run 5 days a week? Well, it depends. You know, what do you consider a speed workout? Is a speed workout a sprint? Then I would only do it once. You know, and when I say sprints, that'd be like fast as you can, 100 meter, 200 meter, 400 meter for several workouts. If it's a goal pace, workout, I would probably say three at least. And then maybe one sprint and one steady pace, longer run. So take a look at this. This is a running plan I created. This is 20 miles a week. You may not be able to do all 20 miles in this plan in a week, but you'll see how I broke it down. That Monday is a particular type of run. Tuesday's a particular type of run, a little faster, but also hills added. You know, there's a day when you're running soft sand or rucking, you know, so there's ways to put in some miles without just running long, slow distance. I would not recommend that. If you're doing five-mile runs, you know, it takes you 50 minutes to do 5 miles, you're just going to get good at running slowly. You got to pick up the pace a little bit. So my suggestion would be do your quarter miles. Right now you're at an 8-minute pace, so I would shoot for 7-minute pace. So that means all your quarter miles are at 145, all your half mile interval runs are at 330, and learn that pace. So a typical workout would be 8 quarter miles at 145 or 5 half miles at 330. To get you that 7-minute mile pace, and then rest with a 100-meter walk. See if you can actually catch your breath after walking 100 meters. If you need a little more, that's fine, but rest, 100-meter walk, do it again. So you'll see that workout on that running plan. It's a pretty good little running plan up there. Let's see, where are we? How many weeks is your over 55 program going to be? Do you have an idea when it will be available? Well, Tom, I am making it now. And if you send me an email, I'll send you, because I'm making it 1 week at a time. I'm only on week 3 right now, I think. So yeah, I started at beginning of the year. And you can kind of see what I'm doing. You can kind of test it out on yourself, see what you like, give me some feedback. But it's probably going to be 16 weeks, probably go 4 months with it and, see how people do with that. I'll probably though, it'd probably be like 12 weeks of what I'm going to send you. And then maybe in a beginner 4-week drill where it's really just kind of walking and stretching, depending on someone's activity level going into it. 'Cause you never know. Some people could be already had a heart attack by then and needs to rebuild themselves versus jump right into a 16-week program. And, you know, you'll see the level of activity that's in it. But I have 2 mobility days per week. That's kind of like my next generation, you know, 55 over, instead of 1 mobility day a week like I do now in my 40s when I started that. But I actually, my younger guys are doing it too, because they need mobility to get better in the pool. Most of these guys are non-swimming athletes that have tight hips, tight knees, tight ankles, and they can't tread water very well, and they can't swim streamline very well. So we got to work on all the different joint mobility just to make them just be a little more efficient in the water, be a better streamliner. So anyway, there's some changes to the 55 and over plan. Doing the speed limit, Tom, doing the speed limit. So, yeah. But, yeah, send me an email. I'll send you what I got. What's your thoughts on 80-20 rule? Yeah, not bad about running. 80% of your run should be slower pace. 20% of your run should be speed work. It depends. Depends on what you're shooting for. I'm probably the other way around. I'm probably 80%. Of my stuff is goal pace, 20% is slow. So I think you could flip it around in time. It really kind of depends on your goal. You know, with that 80% being slower pace, like a zone 2, you're probably focused on building an aerobic base, which is fine. Sometimes if you can handle that kind of mileage each week, then yeah, good. Make it make it that way for an aerobic base. But I always talk about, you know, if you can't handle that mileage, last thing you want to be doing is just adding on long, slow miles to a body that might be new to running, where you can replace all that extra mileage with biking, elliptical, rowing, and swimming, and take away some of that impact forces and still get the aerobic base training that you need. So I like to do significant amount of non-impact cardio. So think of it like a triathlete would. So I do swimming, I do biking, and I do running. Sometimes that bike turns into elliptical. And I can go, I rarely go slow and easy on my swim and bike. I usually make those kind of short and fast. But my runs are either goal pace or slower. So, anyway, that's what I do. So check out what I just posted, that running plan to help you get to and through. And you'll see right there how I would do a 20-mile a week running. And you can do the math yourself and see how many days are slow, how many days are goal pace, how many days are fast and hills and sand and just different challenges. So there's a way to do it. I have a way to do it. You know, 80-20 is another way to do it. 20-80 is another way to do it. So it's funny, I got in a love-hate relationship to you, Stu. Yep, that's understandable. Following the programs completely, whenever I see lunges for distance, you give me nightmares day prior, every time it gets easier. You know what? It will get easier a lot. In fact, you will find that the, you know, 100-meter lunges is a lot at first. 200-meter lunges is like, oh my God, is he trying to kill me? And then I throw in a 400-meter lunge set and that blows people away. But, you know, we try to progress up to that level. But the goal isn't whether or not you can do 400 meters of lunges. Believe it or not, most people can. They're just going to be in a lot of pain afterwards. The goal is, can you do 400 meter lunges and 2 days later, it not affect your 4 mile timed run? That is my assessment that I do with people. I don't care if you can do 400 meter lunges. You know, we all can. It's 2 days later, can you still run a 7 minute mile, 4 mile timed run without, you know, the muscular pain that's involved in that? Do you recover in a day or two from those 400 meter lunges? That's the assessment of the 400 meter lunges. So when you're doing those lunges in the program, great. The completion of that is not the goal. The goal is assessment 2 days later. Are you still feeling your legs? If you are, no big deal. That happens. Just give it some time, and probably about 3 or 4 weeks, your legs won't bother you a bit after doing lunges every, you know, twice a week, sometimes 3 times a week. Good question, though. So let's see what's next. Where was I? Ah, Jared got it. Okay. Good job. Good job. You heard it correctly. So it looks like on my end of receiving at 9:48, Jared McCarley, you get the book. So send me an email, Stu@StuSmith.com, and I will, you can see the email right here, Stu@StuSmith.com, with your address, and I will mail you that signed copy of that book. Well, that was fun. Maybe we'll do it again. What book would you want me to give away if we do another one? So if we do another one of those, I have like Cows and Cardio, I got 40 and Over, Beginner, I got the FBI fitness test. Believe it or not, this is my best-selling program. There are a lot of people who want to be FBI agents every year. Also have fall. I also have winter. I have spring back here. What else I got back there? I got another fall. So spring training, Mikkel asks for. Tom asks for cows and cardio. Well, it will depend. Let me see if I have two of one. I don't like to give all of them. Oh, look at that. I got two cows and cardios. So what I'll do is I'll do this. I'll do two more book giveaways. I have a fall. I have two falls. And I have two cows and cardios. So stand by when you see the next book giveaway banner. When you see that again, okay, say send it to me. Oh, I like Alex says send it to me, sir. It's not following directions, but I appreciate the sir on the end. You don't have to have to do that. Appreciate it. I doubt I would have, if you were first, I doubt I would have hit you on not saying it fully correctly, but just listen, send it to me is all you got to say. All right. So I was just wondering if you have any specific workouts for working your tempo, your sit-ups. Usually I have way more reps after 2 minutes, so I run out of time. Yes, I work on a pace of sit-ups. In fact, pretty much just about any of my workouts will focus on a particular pace for sit-ups. And it usually ranges between 20 and 25 sit-ups every 30 seconds. Now, if you do the math in a 2 minute test, that'll put you in a range of 80 to 100. And I would say that is a great above average score for the sit-up test, you know, especially a 2 minute sit-up test. The FBI, they have a 1 minute sit-up test. So getting, you know, 50 plus on that one, it's a little bit easier. You don't have to pace yourself as much. But with a 2 minute test, you really do have to pace yourself. So I try to find anytime I'm doing a like 25 sit-ups, I will try to do that in 30 seconds. Or a lot of times I'll put time limits in those workouts. So I'll say sit-ups 1 minute. You know, so whatever your goal is for your 2 minute sit-up test, take half of that. And it's all pace. You don't start off too fast and finish slow. You don't start off too slow and finish slow or try to go fast. Just find a steady pace and maintain it. I think probably what's happening is you're just starting off way too slow. If you have juice after 2 minutes, which is good, you've kind of built some endurance up for it. Now you just have to work on your speed. Not very uncommon to running. You know, a lot of people build their aerobic base with slower running pace, then they have to work on building some speed. So it's very similar. In fact, I usually classify swimming, running, and sit-ups all in the same group of exercises. Pacing, right? You got to pace that yard per second pace on that 500-yard swim in order to get an 820, 500 yards, 500 seconds. That's kind of my gold standard. Be faster than that if you want, but that's kind of my minimum. And then you have a 6 minute mile, you know, which is a 90 second quarter mile. It's a 3 minute half mile. Master that pace, you know, that'll get you a 9 minute mile and a half every time. Sit ups the same way. So great question. Mikhail hit a nice milestone yesterday. Been swimming a lot because of shins. Selection requires a 25 minute 1000 breaststroke. Yesterday, I hit 20 minutes and 1K. Oh, nice. Been doing your 50-50 with freestyle breaststroke. Good call. I like that. Yeah, the 75-75 with freestyle breaststroke. That's really good, man. You know, I've changed it up a little bit for the Air Force guys because they also need to do some underwaters. So I've changed up the 50-50 for them where they start their first 25 as an underwater. Then they come back freestyle. Then they catch their breath with a 50 CSS or breaststroke. It's up to them. And that has been very helpful for the Air Force guys as well. So do you think rucking has a different impact on the shins? Yes, I do. I somehow found that okay for me to do, but running at the moment is decreasing a lot and subsided when substituted with elliptical swimming and fast biking. That's what I would do if your shins are bothering. But, you know, my suggestion would be to check your ankle mobility and really try to stretch those ankles. You might have seen some of my mobility day pictures where I'm helping people with ankle mobility. Sometimes it's ankle mobility like in a frog pose, and then you try to sit up and you put all your weight on your ankles and shins. And then you do it with your feet curled under you and you put the tops of your feet under you and you're sitting on the shins and the top of your feet. And that will really stretch out your ankles. Sometimes those shin splints, if they come about for any reason, it's often ankles are getting tight for some reason. It could be maybe you sprained an ankle and it's just tight, and now the shin's acting funny because that ankle is really stiff. Could be you're wearing boots and your ankles aren't really moving right. Might want to loosen your boots a little if that's the case. So there's a couple little things, you know, but I would focus on your ankles first. If your shins are bothering you, focus on ankles. Maybe get some new inserts inside your boots or running shoes just for extra padding. See if that helps. Definitely for rucking, you definitely want some extra padding. Stu, for you guys who need to put on some more upper body mass, what hypertrophy style program do you put them through? Long story short, 185, looking to gain about 10 pounds of muscle. Yeah, that's a good question. But my fall and winter program is just that. It is putting on mass, but you're also maintaining your cardio and calisthenics. And in fact, check out this one because this is another winter lift cycle that I do. It's a winter block periodization. It just gives you some lessons learned that I created. When I first created this, I wanted to test it out. And me and a couple of other physiologists put it to the test, and it worked really well. Not only were the guys putting on mass, and 10 pounds was about the average, but they also got better at their PST scores, which I rarely have had that occur during a winter lift cycle because it's just not a focus. We were just focusing on putting on mass and, you know, getting stronger while we kind of maintained our PST scores. But this one was a little bit different. We put on mass, we got stronger, and we improved PST scores simply because we did that every fourth week block periodization. And all of these new periodization, seasonal tactical fitness periodization models have that every fourth week deload and different focus. It's not necessarily your typical deload where, you know, like if every fourth week you're doing a deload in the weight room and you do something easy for a week. This is just something different for a week. Not necessarily easier, but it's a focus on the things you can't neglect. Like you might be in a lifting phase to get bigger, but you still got that PST in the back of your head that you can't suck at either. So that's where I would go. I would go with the block periodization model, especially if you're trying to crush a PST also. Nate asks, would you recommend building up to 50 miles a week to prepare my legs for butts? We've had this discussion. I don't think that's necessary. Some people do. I think 40 is fine. And, you know, it's up to you. I've had people do 50 in a week, but I also have had people, not my guys, but guys I've heard of that did 50 miles a week for months, many, many months before they went to Buds, but they didn't do it fast enough. So they were running like 8-9 minute mile pace, 50 miles a week, and they couldn't pass the 4 mile timed run when they put on boots and on the hard packed sand at Buds. They couldn't get a 32 minute 4 mile. So you don't want to get too good at running slow. And a lot of times those 50 miles, there'll be a significant portion of that being a lot slower. So you also want to be running faster. So I've had guys go down as little as 25 miles a week, but every one of those miles were either 6 or 7 minute mile pace. And they crushed, never had a problem with a run at Buds. So just depends on your athletic history. You know, some people build up to 50 and they break. So you got to be careful on that one. So we'll do the calisthenics and cardio for this one, or whichever one you want. Whoever wins it, you get a choice. Let's see. Who's my first one? Somebody had that thing ready to go. Let's see. 10, it's 10:01 now. So 10:01. Catherine. Looks like Catherine got it. Catherine Rivera. Yep. You get it, Catherine. Good work. We'll do one more of these. So send me an email, Catherine, stu@stusmith.com. And I will get, which one do you want? Do you want calisthenics and cardio? Or do you want tactical fitness periodization? You let me know. And by the way, you know, hit that like button over there. This podcast runs on likes. It's free, but you got to like it. So hit your like button. Let's see. Do you see running times get faster even when substituted for non? Absolutely. Absolutely. You said that running doesn't equal good swimming shape, but could be the other way around. Well, there's a difference between swimming shape and running speed. I have found that on a bike, if you're doing a lot of hard Tabata intervals, or for me, what really helped me when I was nursing a knee injury was I did pretty much nothing but Tabata intervals on upper body days and bike pyramids on lower body days. And a bike pyramid works like this. You just start off on a bike that has, you know, like a life cycle or pre-core type bike that has resistance. And a lot of times they'll have resistance up to 20, maybe even 25, which is really hard to pedal. And every minute on the minute, you increase that level of resistance by one or two, depending on how long you want to be on. So if you want to do it for 20 minutes, go for level two up to 20, then back down to two, make a pyramid out of it. If you wanted to go for 40 minutes, every minute on the minute, you know, hit the level by one, you know, go up by one level. And you'll see the first 5 or 10 sets aren't that hard. The middle 10 sets are really hard. And then on the backside, the 10 minutes, the backside 10 minutes are pretty easy. So kind of starts you off with a warm up, peaks you out to where you're standing up, having to pedal. And the goal is to keep it between 70 and 80 RPMs on that bike. And I became faster after doing that. And I didn't run for like 4 weeks. And whenever I got back into 4 mile timed runs, I went from like, you know, 28 minute 4 mile timed runs down to like 26:30s. And I didn't run at all prior to that. So you can definitely get faster. Let's see, where are we here? Bunch of send it to me's here. Do you incorporate cold water plunges in your recovery? Not as much as I'd like. Right now, I definitely could because the water is very cold. And I say water, I mean Chesapeake Bay's in the high 30s right now. But we typically shut it down, like our outdoor water activity, when it gets below 40. But we'll get in the water, won't swim in it. We'll probably swim in it till about 55 degrees, which is still pretty chilly. But once it gets below 55, we won't swim, but we'll go in there, just sit in there and do it. I don't do it enough though, but I've heard some neat studies about it. I've heard actually a most recent one where you do your cold water first, then you do your workout, and evidently it boosted testosterone scores significantly. I got to look more into that. I just saw that in passing. Need to actually read into that and see what that's all about. But I don't do it enough. I do it some and I enjoy it, but I could do it more. Let's see here. Cows and cardio for Catherine. Got it. I will give that other cows and cardio away if somebody wants it. If you win it. Like Tom up there who asked for cows and cardio. If you win this next one, I'll send that one to you too. Is a complete no-go doing mobility work without warming up prior? I wouldn't do it. That's why I kind of mix in the cardio with it. Because even if you're stretching for 30 minutes, you know, you tend to lose some body heat. And that's all you're really trying to do with this 5 minutes of cardio. Get some body heat back up, then go stretch again, body heat back up, stretch again. Versus, you know, just stretching for 45 minutes to an hour. You know, sometimes that doesn't produce enough body heat unless you're really constantly stretching like a yoga class or something. But even then, I've found myself certain areas, if we're focused on the legs, my upper body gets cold. Or that we go into the core section and it just crushes me because I'm not ready for it. So anyway, just something to consider. Got a few more questions and I got to go. I've been able to tread water with egg beater for only about a minute and a half. I'll keep working on it. Any advice yet? I mean, just it's like getting in shape for anything else, you know, whether it's 2 minutes of sit-ups or it's, you know, a mile running. You know, put it this way. If I told you go swim for 10 minutes, you would say, oh, okay, easy day, right? But if I told you to go tread for 10 minutes, all of a sudden the red light goes off and you're like, warning, warning. But that's how it should be. You should be able to, if you can swim for 10 minutes, you can tread for 10 minutes. Treading is nothing more than vertical swimming, and that's where you got to put it. But it's not easy. Where people screw up with treading is they don't realize they suck at treading when they get tested at treading. A lot of people's spec ops dreams end treading water because they neglected to practice it. So I'm glad you know a minute 30 of treading sucks. Because it does. It really does suck. And you just got to get used to it. I will tell you this. You will get better at it. If you're finding that your inability to tread water well could be a hips, knees, and ankle problem where you just need to focus on some of those. You need to focus on some of those mobility drills I do on mobility day. In fact, you can go to my Instagram page. And you'll see the last couple of days where I'm sitting there stretching, I think one of them I'm doing like a full squat. Other one I'm doing is frog pose. There's a couple of stretches there that we do to really help with egg beater. And you'll see them. In fact, I explained them in that post. I'll probably do an article on it too. In fact, I might have. Let me see. I think I did recently. Treading. Check this out. Because I think I put the pictures in there. I did. I've written so many articles, I don't even... sometimes I don't even remember I did them. So anyway, check out that article. You'll see some good stretches that will help you with treading. So I'm doing ankle, calves, shins, mobility, foam rolling every second day. Good. Do a complete mobility days whenever they are in your programs. With the Instagram post you do, is this too much? I don't think so. I think it's great. I tend to stretch every day as well. I don't do a lot every day. Mobility day, I do a lot, and it's life-changing. Sunday, I do a lot. I usually mix in walking, biking with some stretching, a lot of stretching. And the end of every day, I tend to stretch just a little, maybe 5 minutes, so 10 minutes max. But it's just enough to, at the end of the day, go to sleep and, you know, not wake up in pain the next day. It's very helpful for that. You got to remember, I'm probably a lot older than most of you guys. So stretching for me is definitely something that I will continue to do for the next several decades, I hope. So we have one more to give away. And the first one that pops up in this comment section gets their book of choice. David gets it. All right, David. Oh, nope, not Tom. Sorry. Damn, you guys came up fast. Yeah, David is top on my list, looks like. Sorry. Yeah. So nice work, David. Email me, stu@stusmith.com. Tell me which one you want. Fall program or the calisthenics and cardio program. And I will send you that one. So there you go. So I'm looking for some emails from people. So it looks like David, Catherine, and Jared. So send me an email, stu@stusmith.com. I'll send you these books. That is kind of fun to do. Tomorrow I'll be back at 9 o'clock. I'll have some videos to critique. If you do have some videos you want me to critique, just send them my way. I will be happy to do it. They may make it on the show or not. I don't know. Just depends on if there's some teaching value, a common mistake, or perfection. Sometimes I'll show a combination of either common mistakes that a lot of people make or perfect programs. So, or perfect swim form. Second place every time. First loser. All right. Hey, folks, I appreciate it. Remember, your comments and email questions give me ideas for articles, so I appreciate it. Send anything. If you didn't get a question in today and I didn't answer it, just send it to me, stu@stusmith.com. If you're looking for ideas for training, I actually talked to a kid today, had no idea that I have over 1,000 articles out there and over 40 books over at stusmithfitness.com. Blew his mind whenever he said that. And I said, what rock you've been living under? So just teasing. But yeah, check out stusmithfitness.com. There's a lot more of this programming and articles out there for you to check out. All right, folks, I need to bail. I will be back tomorrow. Probably be a shorter event than normally planned due to a place I got to be after the podcast. So Q&A will be starting right at 9 tomorrow morning, and we'll get it done 45 minutes. All right. I will chat with you later. You guys have a good one.